Although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, that distinction probably belongs to the Persians. They perfected it as a means of capital punishment. It was designed to produce a slow death with a maximum of pain and suffering. In some places, it was customary to tie the crucified to the crossbar with ropes. The Romans preferred to use nails. Archaeological digs have indicated that these nails were tapered, square-shafted iron spikes about 5 to 7 inches long, without arms outstretched but not taut. The wrists were nailed to the crossbar, and the driven nail would sever the large median nerve, producing bolts of fiery pain in both arms. The feet were usually fixed to the front of the cross, and again, the Roman practice and preference was to use an iron spike. And so the knees would be bent. The spike was placed on top of the leading foot between the second and third toe, and the blow was delivered. The major effect of crucifixion, aside from the blinding pain, was a tremendous interference with normal breathing. The weight of the body pulling down on the outstretched arms and shoulders would fix the muscles in an inhaling state. In order to exhale, one would have to push up on the feet and flex the elbows and shoulders, putting all the weight of the body on the feet and wrists, causing searing pain, and every effort at breathing would become more agonizing and exhausting and would eventually lead to asphyxiation. If the crucified lingered on too long, the executioners could speed the process considerably by breaking the legs below the knees, which is exactly what happened to the thieves on either side of Jesus. This is the sickening reality behind the words, "Jesus died for your sins." We're talking about iron spikes forged in human sin, causing catastrophic damage to Jesus' body. We're talking about his muscles straining beneath the suffocating weight of our disobedience. At the moment of Jesus' crucifixion and death, all of God's righteous anger against sin was focused on his Son with laser precision. Jesus' heart may have been pierced by the spear of the Roman guard, but it was already broken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is both fulfillment of prophecy and the uncensored expression of Jesus' heartbreak as the full weight of my sin falls on him. Can I hear this and let it pass into the realm of, oh yeah, Jesus died for your sins. We've heard that before. Can I hear this and not grieve? Grieve for Jesus, sure, but even more so grieve the fact that my sin caused that horrible event. Can I hear this and not be moved to say, it should have been me. I deserve this punishment, not Jesus. I know what I've done, the temptations I've given into, the ways I've treated people, the greed that consumes me. I also know what I haven't done. I haven't loved my neighbor like myself. I haven't fulfilled my responsibilities to my family, nor have I put God first in every area of my life or come close to serving him as I ought. It's only right that I should pay for those sins, for all of my sin. It should be me. And God says, no. my son will pay for you. He will be your substitute. He will stand in for you on this cross. He will know what hell is really like so that you never have to. Oh, you deserved punishment. But I punish my dear son instead. You are spared. The price is paid in full. You're free. The relief, the gratitude, the love you feel at the hearing of this news is nothing less than the stirring of faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit at work in you. Let's not be in a hurry to leave the scene of the cross. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.